The purpose of this podcast here at the DMC is for men to be discipling other men to live by the conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord. God calls men of dominion to lead the way in making a positive difference in the lives of men, their families, and their neighbors. Welcome to the podcast. We're going to talk about the foundation of every Christian man, actually everyone. And that foundation should be the Word of God. The Word of God has been taken out of context to prove a lot of things. You know, it was taken out of context for slavery, as it's taken out of context today. But when God speaks, He speaks through His Word. God has spoken, and He has spoken through His Word. So how we know God, how we know of God, is through His special revelation, which is the Word of God, the Bible. Now, God also has a general revelation. That's nature. You know, the design, the different colors, the uniqueness of the earth, how everything is mathematically designed to work. If anything is out of order, too much this way, too much that way, we don't have the perfect conditions to live in. You can't get systematic out of chaos. You can't get intelligent design out of chaos. So with that, you have to build your life on a particular foundation and a set of standards, a set of truthful standards. You know, the problem is a lot of people say, I'm a Christian, but I'm not religious, or I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Religion simply means a set of beliefs. And we all have a set of beliefs, even on our job, the way we believe we have to manage, or our life, the way we believe we have to be a certain style. We have to present ourselves to people a certain way. These are a set of beliefs you have for yourself and the way you move. In Christianity, we have a set of beliefs, and it's laid down in the Bible as our foundation. God spoke, and He spoke through His Word that was given to the apostles in the New Testament and the prophets in the Old Testament. So today, we want to cover on why men, and not just men, everybody should believe the Bible. I remember when I became an ordained minister, at my ordination, I was asked about books that I have recently read. And I named off a couple of books. A few of those books were about the historical Jesus. And I was quickly told that, look, don't worry about the historical Jesus. Just preach Christ, preach faith. But for me, because I didn't grow up in the church, for me, my way to God, I was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ from the Bible, from reading it, from listening to it daily on a consistent basis. So for me, realizing and believing that Jesus was indeed a historical figure, we have more information for Jesus being alive and walking the earth than any other ancient character. So for me, the belief in Jesus Christ, that He was a historical character, a person that really walked this earth, was ingrained in me. And I went on an investigation. Now, God does not want you to have blind faith. He wants you to have faith, trust in Him. And His special revelations is a part of that. So let's talk about this foundation. Historically, and we're going to start with the Bible in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21 reads, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we were when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter testified to Scripture, and that Scripture is divine and wholly inspired by the Holy Spirit. So I hear a lot of nonsense. So, well, okay, I believe the Bible, I read the Bible, but this stuff that Paul is talking about, that's his own opinion. That's Paul. Paul ain't God. But yet, Paul used the Lord. Paul was used by the Lord Jesus Christ to write down these words, inspired and carried away by the Holy Spirit. It was not of his own accord that his words were written. So we can't dismiss Paul, but yet believe the rest. Now, let's get into it. The English word Bible in Latin and Greek simply mean the books. The books. The Bible is a collection of individual books that was put in a canon. A canon is a collection of books. And the Bible is unlike any other religious book, despite having 40 authors that wrote from three continents, Africa, Asia, Europe, and over 2,000 year period. The Bible maintains it maintains a perfect consistency of its message. Its words point unerringly to Christ, whose work on the cross was ordained by Yahweh, the true author of the Bible, before the world even began. Yahweh existed in the beginning. Also, the Bible is falsifiable because it speaks of eyewitnesses that could have refuted its claims. Luke, as a historian, speaks of these things in the New Testament. Luke says there were eyewitnesses. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1:1-4, Luke says, "Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." Eyewitnesses. Luke, as a historian, as a Greek historian and doctor, wrote these things down as he investigated them. Also, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-8, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, the gathering, the called out assembly in Corinth. "Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Eyewitnesses that could have refuted any of this when these books were going around. When these individual books in the time of the apostles, in the time they were written, were going from church to church. But they were not. The books of the Bible are historical documents. There are approximately 5,800 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. In addition, there are 10,000 Latin manuscripts, 9,300 manuscripts in other languages of the Bible. Our earliest manuscript is AD 130, Papyrus P52. How do the New Testament documents compare with other ancient books that you learn in school? You know, about other ancient figures, Alexander the Great, Herodotus. How do the manuscripts we have compare to these? How does it stack up? Let me see. Let me tell you. A stack of existing manuscripts from the average classical writer would measure about 4 feet high. Yet, the New Testament manuscripts would stack to more than 1 mile high. The New Testament documents far surpass other ancient writings, such the histories of Herodotus, Plato's trilogies, or the annals of Tacitus. In terms of manuscript number and dating, the Bible outweighs them all. As far as historical documents and writings from antiquity. And if you talk about archaeology, 25,000 archaeological digs have discovered important names, items, and places in the Bible. In case after case, archaeology eventually catches up with the biblical account, and archaeology and the Bible come into agreement. Archaeology has never proved the Bible account to be wrong, although in some cases, it lacks the evidence to prove the biblical account just outright. As archaeologists continue to dig, we will have more external evidence to substantiate the historicity and truthfulness of the Bible's record. And prophecies. The Bible speaks of prophecies, and the Bible tells of things that could not have been known at the time of its writing. Through technology, we know these things now. In the 10th century BC, several centuries before the crucifixion was invented by the Assyrians or employed by the Romans, both Israel's King David and the prophet Zechariah predicted the death of Israel's Messiah in words that perfectly depict the mode of execution. It is difficult to explain the explosive growth of Christianity within the first 100 years. So, of Christ's life, it's hard to explain the explosiveness in which Christianity grew through immense suffering if Christ did not actually exist. Not too many people, by the hundreds, by the thousands, would die for a lie, would die for something they knowingly knew was made up. And if we get into extra biblical evidence of the Bible and its historical relevance to us today, Pliny the Younger, circa AD 112. Pliny the Younger was a Roman governor of Bithynia who wrote to Emperor Trajan asking for advice on how to deal with the Christians he was persecuting. In Book 10, Letter 96, Pliny the Younger describes the procedure to Trajan. I'm going to read this. Now, this it's a technical, but I want to get into the purpose of having the Bible as your foundation in life and why you can believe the Bible. I'm going to talk about several people that is outside of the Bible. I'm not going to use the Bible for its own evidence. These are historians that are known to exist. We have their writings. Pliny the Younger writes, "Others whose names were given me by an informer first said that there were Christians and afterwards denied it, declaring that they had been, but were so no longer, some of them having recanted many years before, and more than one so long as 20 years back. They all worshiped your image and the statues of the deities and cursed the name of Christ. But they declared that the sum of their guilt and of their error only amounted to this, that on a stated day they had been accustomed to meet before daybreak and to recite a hymn among themselves to Christ, as though he were a god, and that so far from binding themselves by oath to commit any crime, their oath was to abstain from theft, robbery, adultery, and from breach of faith, and not to deny trust money placed in their keeping when called upon to deliver it." Pliny's letter reveals that Christ was a real historical figure whose name the Roman magistrates were attempting to get Christians to curse. As a side note, I delivered a sermon one time with such numbers and documentation, and I'm sure I will hear this again, that what I heard was that felt like we was back in school. You know, that didn't feel like a teaching, but it is. You know, you have to know what you believe and why you believe, and your foundation has to be solid. And when people ask you for a reason for your faith, you just can't say, "Because I was raised that way," or you know, "I just believe," or "I just have faith." But you have to be fully grounded in that belief. And a lot of people, they need that. That's why they waver in between religion and Christianity, in between atheism and Christianity and other religions, because they are not grounded in the foundation or where they're getting that information from. I believe the Bible specifically because I've investigated the Bible and its authenticity. I encourage anyone to do the same. Now, moving along, Suetonius. He was also a Roman historian whose most famous work, the De Vita Caesarium, Lives of the Caesars, recounts a brief history of the first 12 Caesars, from Julius Caesar to the Emperor Domitian. In his chapter on the life of Claudius, AD 41 to 54, he explained the reason for the emperor's decision to expel the Jews from Rome, an event also recorded in the Bible, Acts 18:2. Since, he goes on to say, since the Jews constantly made disturbances at the instigation of Christ, he expelled them from Rome. There is near unanimous consensus among scholars of all religious persuasions that Christus, likely a phonetic misspelling of the Latin Christos, is Jesus Christ. Indeed, the name Christos or Christosius and the term Christians were known to and used by numerous church fathers. Suetonius' reference demonstrates that within 100 years of the life of Jesus, he was known to have existed and that he was a popular and controversial figure who caused disturbances among the Jews during the reign of Claudius, affirming the biblical record. This is historical fact from a Roman historian during the times of the Romans. And we know the Romans ruled over 400 years. Number three, Tacitus, AD 116. He was a Roman historian who left two major works that are used widely today to talk about ancient Rome. He covered the Roman Empire from AD 69 to 96. And also, his two books are The Histories and The Annals. In The Annals, Tacitus writes about suspicions that Nero was responsible for the Great Fire of Rome and how Nero tried to deflect the blame. He goes on to say, consequently, to get rid of the report, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christos, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate, and a most mischievous superstition thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the first source of the evil, but even in Rome, where all things hideous and shameful from every part of the world find their center and become popular. This passage is of great importance to biblical scholars for several reasons. First, there is no question as to its authenticity. Secondly, Tacitus, as seen an independent source, there does not seem to be any literary or oral dependence between the description and the gospel accounts. Thirdly, it affirms numerous details about Jesus called Christus, including his historicity, his death on the Pontius Pilate, and the persecution of his disciples. Furthermore, by describing the mischievous superstition, Tacitus may be referring to the belief of the early disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. You see, a favorite preacher of mine put it best, Dr. Vodebacham, puts it like this: the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses in the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, and they report supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine rather than come from human origins. I have heard some say that man wrote the Bible. You can't believe everything in it. That is what some people say. I say to this, if that is your reasoning, in that case, you need to drop out of school, quit reading the news article, and cut off your TV, because there are all things that are produced by human hands, but yet you believe them. You understand what they say. The Bible has proven itself over and over again. The Bible books are historical. Jesus was the God-man, fully divine, fully human, walked this earth and died for me and you. Died that we would have place with the Lord, be reunited with the Father in spirit, that we would not die, that we would live forever in a new heavens and a new earth. It's because of Jesus that builds the bridge between us and the Father. And I'll close with this. A Christian writer by the name of C.S. Lewis writes about Jesus. He says, and I quote, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A real figure, a historical figure, a savior, God Almighty.